In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. In serving in the church these days, whether we're serving youth, or we're serving young adults, or we're serving middle-aged people, one thing comes very evident in the world today. Something is going very wrong. Something strange is happening. We are escalating in terms of finding new, weird and wonderful ways to satisfy our needs. And we're confused. So I've been trying to think, what is the source of this confusion? And one of the things that I think greatly contributes to this confusion is that as young people in particular, there is an extraordinary lack of hope amongst people. And that will range from a lack of hope of getting good grades to a lack of hope of finding a good job to a lack of hope of keeping a job, to a lack of hope of finding the right life partner, to a lack of hope of trying to achieve a sustainable and a healthy Christian spiritual life. And we lose this hope. And you know, when someone loses hope, they start to resort to all kinds of things. When you lose hope, you do one of two things. You either give up completely, stop fighting, collapse into a heap, and just almost disintegrate, or you start doing random things to try to regain hope in different directions, and they become unfocused and disorganized, and they become erratic and sporadic. So there's no consistency. And I think when we look at our spiritual lives, we can see in our own lives sometimes one, sometimes the other, or sometimes even both of these happening at different times. Spiritually, sometimes we will feel so defeated and so hopeless that we think, what's the point? What's the point of making an effort? What's the point of trying to live a good life? And we just go back into our shell and we do nothing. We lose interest, we lose initiative, we lose momentum, and we just crumble. And unfortunately, when this happens, though we forget that we don't live in a vacuum, when this happens, Satan is far too ready to snap us up immediately. As soon as I lose hope, as soon as I fall down, he will come and he will take me to himself straight away. Because it is at this time that I don't have the protection of my Heavenly Father. It's at this time that I don't have the protection of my Savior. Not because he's left me, but because I've left him. Not because he's given up on me, but I've given up on myself and I've given up on him. At other times, we will find that we're losing hope, so we do strange things. Like we will get into various lifestyles, and then we'll get into various addictions. And then we'll come back to church for a while. And then we'll leave again. And it's all very random and confusing. And because it's so confusing and inconsistent, it shakes us up. One of the greatest components, the greatest necessities, ingredients of a good, strong spiritual life is the words of God, who said, "Be still. Be still. I am God." That stillness. When our Lord Jesus Christ was going to leave his disciples, he said, My peace I give you. It is my own peace that I leave you. So if we're in a random, erratic lifestyle spiritually, we will never grow. We will never, ever become spiritually stronger. We will keep peaking and then falling. And that becomes disheartening in itself. And it becomes off-putting in itself. What gets us to that stage? Okay, this is the problem. What gets us to that problem? How do we get over it? One thing to actually be able to ascertain what the problem is and then try to find some kind of solution is to understand who and what we are. We sometimes lose focus of who we are. You know when fashions come out and trends come out and fads come out, you have people, you know, with the jeans around their knees and the little cap with no top on it on sideways and the big bling bling or chain, whatever. All of that stuff. People start to relate to that. People start to associate with it and they lose themselves. And if we lose ourselves, then how can we ever hope to move ahead? One of the other things that makes us lose hope is we move between one point and the other. You know, today we're here and you're here and it's a spiritual meeting and the fathers are here and the church is here and the smell of incense and, you know, it's Christian fellowship and your brothers and sisters around you. You feel strong, you feel peaceful, you feel committed. Tomorrow you walk out on the street and you're somebody else. You're something else completely. And if I don't feel that kind of consistency, how can I ever feel that there is hope for me? If we go to the Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 15, I think we get an indication of who we are. And Chronicles 29:15 reads, "For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope." Do we consider ourselves as aliens and pilgrims on this earth? Do we understand that this is just a journey? Do we understand this is just a trip? Just from point A to point B, and that's all. Or do we start to become so associated with this world that we forget who we are and we lose who we are? We're not of this world. And as long as we keep living as if we were and as if we are of this world, we have no hope. Because deep down, you know what's right. Deep down, your conscience works. Deep down, each and every one of us understands explicitly when we are making mistakes. Sometimes it goes by unnoticed if we're being careless. But by and large, on the whole, we know. We know. So it's like we have a line and we have one foot on either side. Today I'm of this world, tomorrow I'm of the next world. Today I am with the vices and temptations of this world, tomorrow I am with the righteousness and statutes of God. Today I'm with Satan, tomorrow I'm with God. Today I'm in the church, not meaning the church as in the building, the church as in the body of Christ. Tomorrow, I'm some abandoned person out on the street. And this brings us a feeling of a lack of hope. This to-ing and fro-ing, backwards and forwards, makes me think I'll never, ever achieve. I'll never make anything out of it. So the first step is to understand that we don't belong here. And as extreme and you know, boring as that sounds, and as very typically sermon theology as that sounds, that is the truth. We don't belong here. You don't belong here. I don't belong here. God put us on this earth for a temporary period so we can get to His kingdom. And as long as we become aware of that, then we start to focus. Because if my hope becomes in this world, I become very frustrated and very disillusioned. If my hope becomes focused on my study and my work and my family and wealth and riches and social interactions, and that's all, then I feel that something is lacking. I feel something is lacking. But besides these things, I have to have another hope that is connected to my spiritual life, that is connected to my life with God. Then I can focus. So how do we live sometimes? And St. Paul said it quite clearly in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4, verses 13 to 15. Now, we usually use this passage when we're trying to console someone, give our condolences to someone who may have lost someone who's close to them. And you'll understand why when I read it to you. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. So what's he saying here? He's saying, listen, you've got to understand something. We talk about death to this world. I don't want you to be disillusioned and disheartened and lose hope like those people who have no hope because they forget that there is a different dimension to our lives. That dimension is the dimension of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have that complete dimension. That's what makes us different. That's what makes us unique, makes us strong, makes us hopeful. Everything in this world ends. If it ends today, if it not, it'll end tomorrow. If not tomorrow, it's next week, next month, next year, in 10 years' time. It will end. Everything ends. The only thing, the only one who doesn't end is our Lord Jesus Christ, is God. And so we're starting to then get a picture of, well, as long as we have our hope in the world, then we will remain hopeless. But as soon as we shift our vision and our concentration onto the Lord and we have hope in Him, then we're on the right track. Then this is what we're aiming for. Because our Lord knew we're living in this world, and He said, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all this will be added to you. I'm not here today to tell you not to study and not to work and not try to find a life partner, not to be successful. We have a responsibility to be successful as good and faithful stewards, to take our talents and work with them. But we cannot only focus on these things. Our hope, as St. Paul said here, must be in Jesus Christ, in the Lord Himself. And that's what makes us different. People will say to you, yeah, all faiths are the same. All faiths are the same. Well, I beg to differ. All faiths are not the same. Nobody has Jesus Christ but us. Nobody has a Savior but us. No one has a God who became man like us. Don't sell yourself short. I'm not being elitist. I'm not being sectarian. I'm not telling you that you are better than anybody else. What I am telling you is that the God within you is better than anybody else. The Holy Spirit within you is better than anybody else. You know, there's an alarming trend at the moment of people becoming Christian as a reaction. That's not Christianity. The use of extremism and fundamentalism in whatever way of life is wrong. Christianity is not about fundamentalism. I heard a nice quote yesterday, and I'm sure you've heard it, and you've got it on your email at some stage, that someone was talking about Islam, and they said that the difference between Islam and Christianity in Islam, God asks every father and mother to send their sons that they may die for him. But in Christianity, it is God who sent his son to die for us. That's the difference. That's the difference. Nobody else has that. Nobody else has an incarnate word of God. Nobody else has God who became man. How many of you have seen The Passion? Nobody else has that. Nobody else has that. And if we don't have our hope in Him, then we will never have hope. We will be like those who are ignorant, and St. Paul calls them ignorant. We will be ignorant like those who have no hope, for their hope is not in the Lord. So what's the solution? I've told you all really negative stuff so far, and you know, I don't want to put you off. You think, oh, we've come all this way to listen to this guy with the funny accent, and he brings us down, he depresses us like this. Well, I've got some good stuff for you as well, so don't give up on me yet. Psalm 32 verse 24. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. We want courage, we want strength. It comes from having hope in the Lord, not having hope in this world. We concentrate our hope in this world too much. We look at means of satisfaction, of joy. You look at how much we seek people's acceptance. I will bend over backwards to do the right thing so that X, Y, or Z can think that I'm a nice person. If I upset this person, then I feel bad about it. I feel that I've hurt them. I feel that I've disappointed them. I feel I've let them down. You know, as friends, if someone lets us down, we are relentless. We are without mercy. How can you possibly let me down? How can you possibly betray me? How can you possibly talk like that about me? How can you do all these things? Yet, we are quite ready and willing and happy to completely ignore every time we grieve the heart of God, every time we bring pain to Him. We are quite happy to completely ignore every time we disappoint Him. We're quite happy to judge all those who disappoint us and betray us, and forget that we disappoint Him and betray Him every day of our lives, through our sin, through our lack of faithfulness. We're willing to do that. We're willing to put that aside, but we concentrate on what people do to us. So what should we hope in? As the psalm said, we should hope in the Lord. But why should we hope in the Lord? It's well and good to do all these things, well and good to hear these things. Someone comes up to you and what do you expect me to say to you? You come here expecting me to tell you to hope in the Lord, right? You wouldn't expect to hear anything else from me. If you did, it would be a little bit worrying. So I'm telling you what you expect to hear. What I want to get to know is why hope in the Lord? Why do we hope in the Lord? Why should we hope in the Lord? The Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 27. To them God will make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Why should we hope in the Lord? Because He's in us. He's inside us. He's inside each and every one of us. A lot of us deal with God like He is someone or something out there. God is everywhere. But amongst everywhere, within that very, very wide definition of everywhere, is in here, is inside me, is inside you. God isn't just out there. God is essentially and initially and most importantly inside us. He's inside us in many ways. He's inside us emotionally because we feel that love. He's inside us ritually and sacramentally. When we're chrismated after our baptism and Abuna blows into the child's face and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," we become a temple of the Holy Spirit straight away. From that point on, the Holy Spirit lives within us. He's there within us. So why do we hope in the Lord? Because He is our glory, because He is our strength, and because He's inside us. I have hope in my relationship with Him. We always try to look for someone who's close to be supportive. When you speak about someone who is your friend, you say, "Well, we're close." Okay? There is nothing closer than inside my heart. There's nothing closer than in my life. And that is where God is as well. But again, you think, okay, well, this is still rhetoric. We've heard this before. Why have hope in the Lord? Okay, He's our strength, He's our glory, He's inside us. But what has He done for us to hope in Him? What makes Him so important for us? What makes Him so intrinsic, so essential? And we get this in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 8. But let us who are by day, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So what is our hope in? Our hope is in salvation. What is this whole story about? What is this whole incarnation about? What does it mean that God became man and came down and lived on the earth and, as you've seen, suffered and died and rose? What is that all about? Why did that all happen? What is the point of all of that? The point of all of that is salvation. Why do I have hope in Him? Because He gives me something no one else can give me. Nobody else. Nobody else can give me. Nobody else can give me salvation except our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave me the entitlement to salvation through His blood on the cross. He gave me the entitlement of salvation through His Holy Spirit within me. And He gives me the possibility of realizing salvation by providing sacraments like the Eucharist, like confession, repentance, so that I can continually cleanse myself when I sin. But He provides all the components, all the ingredients of salvation. And that is why we hope in Him, because without Him, we have no salvation. Without Him, as we hear in the liturgy, we are those who would be living in darkness and the shadow of death. Without Him, we would be those who are with our father Adam, still in Hades. But we're not anymore. We're not in Hades anymore. We're not in darkness anymore. We're not in shadow of death anymore, as long as we are in the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who walks by light does not stumble, for he has the light within him. He who walks by night stumbles, for he has no light in him. We have light in us. And our hope is in that light. I would like to know and be sure that if I'm going to go out and drive at night, I'm going to flick a switch, and that switch is going to provide lighting which will light my path and allow me to travel from point to point. It would be a very difficult feat to go out into pitch black and drive my car without that light. Likewise, I would like to know, and I have to go out into that world that is full of darkness, full of sin, full of temptation, full of hopelessness, full of defeat, full of weakness, full of defilement, full of darkness. I would like to know that at the flick of a switch within me, I have the presence of that light that lights my path before me. He is that light. He is that hope. Without Him, without His salvation, we have no hope. We have no hope. Why do people who appear to have everything, go and commit suicide? And why do people who live in poverty and appear to have nothing sometimes have such a big smile on their faces? Because sometimes those poor people may have that light in them that gives them hope in everything they do. Whereas those who apparently have everything realize, hey, hang on a minute, I don't have everything. I'm missing something. I'm missing the most important thing. I've always had hope in my own ability and in my world and in my intelligence and in my wealth and in my social standing. I've had hope in all of those things, but wait, something is missing. The hope of salvation, the promise of salvation. Where is that hope? if not in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's nice that St. Paul refers to it as the helmet of the hope of salvation. Why the helmet? Because it is that which protects our mind and our thoughts. The thoughts of salvation direct us, allow us to be focused, allow us to be sure that we're protected. Now, those who ride motorcycles or go to war or do something even much more dangerous like play American football wear helmets, and they're protected by these things. Why? Because they're strong. Are our thoughts protected by the hope of salvation? When I come to sin, am I protected by the hope of salvation? Or do I think, oh come on, what's the use? I've tried this 100 times, 1,000,000 times. What's the point? What is the point of me trying over and over and over again? There's no hope. How many of us have thought that? There's no hope. What can I do? What can I achieve? I've tried time and time and time again. There is no hope. But hang on a minute, there is hope. You see, what I try to do is to rely on my own strength, on my own power. And maybe in that case, there definitely is no hope. But when is there hope? There is hope when I rely on God. There is hope when I rely on our Lord Jesus Christ. That's when there's hope. Because this hope is in Him. He is invincible. He is omnipotent. He is all-knowing. He is perfect. He is without fault, without flaw, without weakness, without beginning and without end. He is all things. So why wouldn't we have hope in Him? Can you understand how ridiculous we are sometimes? You know, I put my hope in the typical weakling who gets sand kicked in his face. But I don't put my hope in the big guy who has strength and power. We have God there. He has everything, knows everything, does everything. Why are we without hope? Because we are without hope in Him. And as long as we are without hope in Him, we are without hope in our lives. Because anything else we hope for is going to pass away. It is going to end. In Titus chapter 1 verse 2, he talks about having hope of eternal life, which is God. Can anything else give you hope of eternal anything? Eternal anything. Even, you know, half of eternal anything. Can anything else equal that? That is the hope we want. It's no wonder we walk around with our shoulders sagging, with our faces to the ground, thinking we have no hope. Why? Because we don't have the strength of God. Our hope is not in Him. If I'm walking around thinking and knowing that I have the strength of God with me and within me, why would I have no hope? If I know that He can support me and help me to overcome my weakness, my sin. You know, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. God knows we're sinful. Very typical story, and see how many people this applies to. Someone who's not very good at a particular subject and gets bad grades at school and keeps hiding report cards from parents so that they don't understand. And year after year after year, they keep doing badly at this subject. How much sense does that make? Another scenario is someone who has trouble, goes to his parents and says, "Listen, I don't know how to do this. Can you help me out?" And they get him private tuition and they get him help and he overcomes it. We don't expect it to be perfect. God doesn't just want us to come to Him when we are perfect. God wants us to come to Him when we are in any state. The prodigal son didn't go have a shower and change his clothes and become immaculate before he went to his father. He went as he was. This guy was feeding pigs. He was in a pigsty. He was in the ultimate of worldly filth. He was defiled by the life he was living. He was defiled by the environment in which he was living. But he went with that to his father and said, "Father, I don't deserve to be your son." And it is only his father who then cleaned him. It is only his father who then put the robe on him and the sandals on his feet and the ring on his finger and fed him. He didn't do that for himself. We sometimes wait to do that for ourselves. "Yeah, when I'm better, I'll go to God. When I'm better, I'll go to Him." We're never going to be better because we, you and I, are weak. We are under the power of sin. And without God, we can do nothing. St. Paul says, "In God I can do all things, in Christ I can do all things." So what I'm telling you is the opposite. Without Christ, we can do nothing. It is no wonder that without Christ, we keep falling flat on our faces. But if we have hope in Him, then we have hope. Real hope, true hope. So don't wait to be perfect to go to God. Go to God with your weakness that He may make you as close to perfect as you can be. You can't forgive your own sins. It is God who gives you forgiveness. You have the intention to stop. You have the intention to repent. But you cannot forgive your own sins. The forgiveness has to come from God because we have wronged Him. The epistle, St. Paul's epistle to St. Timothy is a wonderfully inspiring one, especially for young people. And it starts off in a very, very strong way. The first epistle, first chapter, first verse. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." Our hope. Now you will see a friend in the street and you'll be walking with Sayyidina Amber David and you'll say, "His Grace Amber David, our bishop." You'll be walking with the fathers and you'll say, "You know, this is Abuna, my father." You'll be walking with your parents, say, "You know, these are my parents." St. Paul introduces our Lord to us as our hope. Can you see this starting to fall into place? We have no hope except in Him. St. Paul is a very learned man, very knowledgeable man, very faithful man, very spiritual man. When he says, "The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope," then this is the way he wants us to see him because this is the way he is. Sometimes I have hope in myself. Yeah, when I get better, I'll go to God. When I get better, I'll be able to go to church again. I don't go to church now because I can't. How can I stand there in the presence of God? When I'm better, and I'll do this myself. You know, I've got a plan. I've got a plan. Famous last words. I have a plan. How many plans have we made and how many plans have fallen apart? How many good, wonderful, real intentions have we had and how many of them have just evaporated? Because they're not in our Lord Jesus Christ. We depend on ourselves. I have hope in me. I'll be okay. I'll be fine. But if my hope isn't in my Savior, then I have no real hope. I have hope with intention, but I have no real hope, because it is only God who can give me that real hope. We're in the fast now, and we fast. Great Lent, yeah, it's nice. What is Lent for? What is Lent to you? Bad headaches, can't have my cup of coffee in the morning. What is Lent to you? Long masses. Where do they get these hymns from? You must think people make them up, come on. You know, if they can't eat, they may as well sing, right? What is Lent? What is Lent? Lent is an imposition on me. It is something that is forced upon me. It is something I don't want to do. But what is Lent? Lent, when any fast we have in the church is a period of preparation for a feast. A period of preparation for a feast. So Lent for us is a period of preparation for the feast that comes after, which is what? The resurrection. And what is the resurrection? It is the final step of that salvation that our Lord has given us entitlement with, and then it's up to us to do the rest. So what do I do during Lent? Besides complain about what food I can't have, and what food I need to eat, and how long masses are, and how long the fast is, and who said there's a fast anyway? Give me proof in the Bible that there's a fast. You know, give me proof. Where does it say we need to fast? What, people just make this stuff up? You get people sitting around in a group and say, oh no, let's fast. Why should they do something that affects my life? Well, those people sitting around are, you know, ecumenical councils. Who says, what is the speed limit in this country? What's the speed limit in this country? 65? Maximum. I'm not going to ask how much what you drive at, I'm just asking about the speed limit. Which are probably not the same thing at all. But I mean, who says that that is something we should drive by? You know, some people sit around in a group and suddenly decide to make this 65? Well, why is it? Because it's calculated for a reason, for a purpose. Why are we fasting for a reason, for a purpose? To prepare ourselves for this coming of salvation. To prepare ourselves. We prepare ourselves for everything. But spiritual life, how much preparation do we give ourselves? Rather than complaining at how long and tedious and difficult Lent is, let us look at it for what it really is. It is a period of preparation for the coming of salvation of the world. The Savior, who not only came to the world, but who died for the world. Who died for the world. You know, I think we should be very thankful to Mel Gibson, besides being an Australian. And you know the connection there, right? Besides that, he's done a great thing. He has graphically depicted what we all hear every year. Now, I assure you, for each and every one of you, Holy Week will be very different this year. Good Friday will be very different. Rather than sitting there and concentrating on, here they go with the again. Concentrate on what we are saying. Concentrate on the contemplation that is with the hymns. Mel Gibson depicts it graphically. We depict it musically. The same suffering. It wasn't a different Christ. It wasn't a different Savior. It wasn't a different torture. It wasn't a different death. This was for us. You know, this whole anti-Semitic issue that has arisen, and I'm sure you've all heard the interview by Gibson, when they turned around and said, okay, well, who do you say killed Christ? What did he say? He said, I did. I killed Christ. You killed Christ. My sins killed him. Your sins killed him. He died for us. He didn't die because the Jews killed him. He died because he came to die for me and for you, to be that hope of salvation. He came to die that you and I could live. That's what it's about. As wonderful as these icons are, they don't depict what actually happened. Our iconography, the way we portray events in our iconography, is we portray events in their glory. And that is intentional. You know, the gold behind the icon is a symbol of eternity. And so when you depict a figure in an icon, he or she is depicted in their glory of their everlasting life. So that is a picture of glory in that icon. But there was real suffering, real pain, real death, and real resurrection. And why was that? It was for hope. Hope of salvation. Hope for you and for me. That's what we're doing these days. We want hope. Have hope in the right thing. In the right way. Have hope in what is there and what will remain there. Not in something that will go out of fashion today, tomorrow, next week, next month. We need to have hope. As a generation, we don't have hope. Because as a generation, we have become much more materialistic. Everybody wants to wear the brands. Everybody wants to drive the flash cars. Everyone wants to live in the big houses. And this is not your fault. This is what is pounded into our heads through the media. The media tells us this is happiness. If you can drive the big car and wear the big diamonds and live in the big mansion, then you must be happy. But what about the other person inside you? What about the spiritual side? Is that happy? Is your spirit happy? Is your spirit happy with the big house and the big car and the big diamonds and the fast life? No. Our spirit is only happy in hope. Our spirit is only happy because it knows that one day it will be reunited with its creator. It's just buying time here. It's just doing what it needs to do. It wants to go to its creator. But we're stopping it. We are a defeated generation because our hope lies in this world. And as long as our hope lies in this world, we will always be weak. our hope must be in something else. Our hope must be in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope must be in our salvation. And our hope must be in everlasting life that we are promised. Let us always remember the words of St. Paul to us. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Just take a moment, please, to put your heads down and concentrate on what you just heard. Absorb what you can from it before you start talking to anybody.